B-Pod Studios.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missanelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. Busy day. It's going to be a very busy Friday here. Thursday. Is it Thursday? What is it?
It's Friday.
It's going to be a very busy Friday. Because tonight, we're talking about the Sixers for a lot of the day. We're going to talk about the Phillies a little bit, too, with the Real Muto, the acquisition, which we didn't really get a lot to talk about yesterday. We got Elton Brand on at 2:30. And so I'm going to ask him all the appropriate questions. And, you know, Elton, I got to give him credit. He has mastered the art already of not saying a lot. So I'm going to try to crack him a little bit today. Anyway, it is the Mike Missanelli Show. We're broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. All right, here's the deal, and there's no way around it. The Sixers have made themselves a complete team as they could. Now, you can argue that they could have gotten another player here, could have gotten another player there. There are people say, well, Mirotić would have been a better acquisition. They tried to get Mirotić, and we'll discuss that with Elton Brand. A lot of people say, well, you could have kept Fultz and got Wesley Matthews instead of going out and trading Fultz and getting a guy like Jonathan Simmons. These are little things that we'll ask him about. But the fact of the matter is, they looked at this team as a team with a lot of crevices. And Elton Brand and company tried to fill every crevice. They needed a four. They got a four. They needed a backup. They got a backup. They needed perimeter defenders. They got a couple perimeter defenders. They backed up at center. The only backup they really didn't get was at point guard, which is really interesting on how they're going to play from this point on. But here's the deal. When the general manager and the front office gives you the players that you need to fill all these cracks, and like it remains to be seen, but on paper they have filled the cracks, does it not put pressure on the head coach to deliver? And the question for Sixer fans I have is that, do you expect Brett Brown now? Are the expectations on Brett Brown to win the East? I look at the Sixers and I look at a team that's going to contend for the next couple of years. So it's not necessary that you fire the coach after this year if you fall short of that. But what is falling short of that? Is not winning the East falling short, and does that put the guy's job in jeopardy? Or do you look at it like, okay, they didn't win the East. They lost the series for the Eastern Conference Championship. But next year, we're going to keep this thing going, and Brett keeps his job. Or do you require him right now, with all these pieces, that you got to win the East? It's a little outlandish to think that the Sixers are going to beat the Golden State Warriors in a 7-game series. Maybe next year, that becomes a real possibility because Golden State's going to have some attrition. The Sixers are only going to get stronger. But for this year, if they don't get there, what blame are you going to put on the head coach of this basketball team? And I think it's fair. And I like Brett a lot. And I'm a Brett guy. There's some things that I don't agree with that he does. This is now a new landscape, a new artist, what are you going to call it? The canvas. It's a new canvas for Brett Brown to operate on. So I'm judging him from this point on. And I got to say that I expect him to deliver this Eastern Conference Championship. They've done all they can. They've filled in all these little pieces. We can't complain anymore about what they lack because they've acquired the necessary people. So, Tyrone, I'll ask you right out of the chute. Is the heat on Brett Brown to win the East right now?
I'm not saying you're wrong by saying yes. This is where I'm at. Mm-hmm. I realized the first round,
They're going to win. They have to win. They get to the second round. So the final four are going to be, we know who they're going to be. Toronto, mm-hmm. the Celtics, the Sixers, the Bucks. Mm-hmm. The Bucks probably are going to have the one seed. The Sixers probably can't catch them.
Mm-hmm.
They can catch Boston or Toronto, possibly, two or three seed. If they have to then win a second round series. Can't go out like they did last year. If they get to the conference finals and a Bucks team that has more continuity beats them in six or seven, I can live with that, maybe.
I cannot.
This is the reason, though. One, the Bucks would have home court in that particular series. So if you lost a game seven on the road, worst things have happened.
Uh-huh.
Two, I need to see how Ben Simmons especially plays in that series. It's not if they find a way to make Ben Simmons, quote unquote, beat you, and Ben mm-hmm. can't do it because of deficiencies he still has in mm-hmm. his game, I can't fire the coach because of that.
I've no longer had that excuse. I no longer had it. I had that last year. I no longer had that excuse that allows for a team to shut down Ben Simmons and throttle the Sixers' engine. You now have to be a good enough coach to overcome that. It's just as simple as that. I don't want to hear in the second year that Ben Simmons was throttled by somebody's defense, because you now have four players around him that are going to provide what he couldn't provide against the Celtics last year. There is no more room. They completed this team. If Elton Brand is honest with me, and I have no reason to think that he will be, I'm going to say that, okay, as a front office member, do you think you've added all the pieces that you needed to add? If he says yes, then that puts the onus on the head coach. Whether he's going to admit it or not, if he feels he has completed this team, that now puts the onus on the head coach to deliver at least the East. That's the way I look at it. And I like Brett.
And here's the thing. I really, really want the Sixers to make the finals, because this mm-hmm. Golden State Warriors team will be the toughest challenge this league's going to see for years.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that? The fact that they were able to win all those games, 73 games, and then have a max spot for Durant, that's not going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
This is so what they could learn in a loss in that series could end up making the Sixers be the new Warriors and win multiple titles. I really, really want them to make the finals this year, because I think losing to them in the finals could be like when Detroit lost to the Lakers. And then they propelled and won the next two, and they would have won more if bodies didn't start breaking down. I need to see how it plays out a little bit, mm-hmm. only because the Bucks are already at 40 wins, and if the Bucks are better, I can't fire the coach. If the Bucks aren't better, mm-hmm. and we'll see that, then I can.
This is what I'm having a problem. How do you see that the Bucks are appreciably better than the Sixers, that the Sixers can't win a game in Milwaukee to win, and like not have it come down to a game seven in Milwaukee? Why couldn't the Sixers win a game in Milwaukee to win that series?
Because right now, the Greek Freak would be the best mm-hmm. player in the series.
Okay.
I love Embiid. Embiid would be the second mm-hmm. best player in the series. But right now, the Greek Freak would be the best player in the series. And I don't know if the Sixers have an answer for him.
Okay. I don't think anybody has an answer for him, but the Milwaukee Bucks lose to some teams. So
yeah, but they're the best team in the East.
Listen, I get it. I am not allowing for the Milwaukee Bucks right now to be better than the Sixers. I'm not. The Sixers have filled every crevice. Now, they haven't filled them with superstars, but they filled them with competent people who can fill defined, shortened roles. And that's up to the coach to blend this whole thing. And I know he doesn't have enough time. I mean, I know he doesn't have a lot of time. But the great coaches find a way to blend a lot of talent. And that's how they win. I'm sorry, Brett. I love you. But the Heat's on.
I'm not going to have you take the Heat off. I prefer when you're putting heat on guys.
All right.
I just think we got to see how it plays out.
This is what I'm saying. No, see how it plays out. I know we have to see how it plays out. The expectations right now are on paper. I get it. But the paper has to be manipulated to a point where it's all organized and ready to go. And they added several parts here that fills weaknesses. And if you filled every weakness, there is no reason that there shouldn't be heat on the coach to get it done. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, maybe I'm overly harsh. Let's just see how the people feel today. This is going to be a fun show. We'll have Elton Brand on at 2:30. Hembo's going to check in with us with some unbelievable JT Realmuto stats that are mind-boggling. I didn't realize how good this guy was, but we're going to find out. Brian Westbrook will join us from 4 to 5. And it's a little twist today. It's a little twist, it's a fun little twist. And the little twist is there's this thing that's gone viral. And it's a listing for a house. And shall we say that they're selling the house furnished. Let's just say that at least one of the pictures had a provocative room that was photographed as part of the 30-plus photos of this 5,000-square-foot house that's for sale somewhere in Montgomery County. I won't tell you where it is. But we're going to have, it's gone viral, this photo.
Provocative is a nice way to put it, Mike.
It's provocative.
It's just provocative.
Yeah, it's provocative.
Uh-huh.
And so we're going to have the realtor who listed it. Because since then, the photo has been taken down. And she didn't take it down.
Photos. Multiple.
I only saw the one.
There was multiple.
Really?
Yeah, we got like an in-depth view of the of the room.
Philly Mag's website. If you go there, they still have the photos.
Nice.
Okay.
If you want to see the house, Philly Mag's site still has the photos of the house. Beautiful home.
Yes. And it's just an interesting side note. It's like, but like, when you list the house, how far do you go? Is that appropriate to include the photos of that?
Just so you know, the house does come furnished.
Yeah, it comes furnished, and it's a damn good bargain.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. For that big a house, it's really nice.
5,000 square feet.
All right. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
Welcoming some new faces. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by FreeWinners.net. Be sure to tune in to the experts at FreeWinners.net for the Las Vegas view on all things point spread related every Saturday and Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. only on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sixers will unveil their new squad tonight when they take the floor at home against the Nuggets. Newest Sixer Tobias Harris joined Farzetta and Trey this morning and discussed his long-term view.
I'm hoping a great deal, you know. This is a team that has given up a lot to make this trade happen. You know, that doesn't go unnoticed at all, especially in my eyes. Hopefully this can be a long-term situation for me.
You can hear tonight's game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Our Sixers in 60 show lead you into the game beginning at 6. Elton Brand checks in with Mike today at 2:30. Flyers snap their winning streak, falling to the Kings last night 3-2. They played the Ducks tomorrow at 1. Phillies have acquired catcher JT Realmuto yesterday from the Marlins for Jorge Alfaro, Sixto Sanchez, Will Stewart, and international bonus pool money. Brian Westbrook joins Mike today from 4 to 5. When it's snack time, it's slider time. Add White Castle sliders to your shopping list. Easy to make and will satisfy your craves. Stock up on the slider variety you crave from your local grocery store. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
Mike Mussinelli on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It is the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. It's NBC Sports Philly. 2 o'clock hour brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention, HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location. It's on North 7th Street in Philadelphia. You can check out the equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Elton Brand, General Manager of the Sixers, coming on at 2:30 right here on the show. And just want to add a couple of things. You know how the trade went down? You know, Zach Lowe from ESPN is pretty hooked in, right? So as Zach Lowe reports that the Sixers really had interest in Mirotić, who wound up going to Milwaukee. And Mirotić did not play Wednesday. Tobias Harris did. Now, if you use your thinking, you go, okay, well, that probably meant that Mirotić was their first target, right? If you put two and two together.
Yeah.
And then Tobias Harris, after they couldn't consummate the deal for Mirotić, Tobias Harris became the deal, like that. because he played the whole game, played 36 minutes.
Yeah, made the game-winning shot with four seconds left.
That's the intrigue that I like, and I'm going to ask him about it. He's not going to tell me anything about it. He's not going to give me the whole story. But by deduction, you would think that Mirotić was their first choice.
Yes. Because they would have given up less. Yeah, and
now here's the Milwaukee outbid him. Milwaukee gave 4 second-round picks and 2 players. Stanley Johnson and Jason Smith, who gets tossed around more than anybody in the I can't believe he's still in the NBA.
Yes.
Former Sixer draft pick, Jason Smith. So 4 second-round picks and 2 players. The Sixers offered Fultz and 2 second-rounders, apparently.
Yeah.
So that was going to be the trade. Now, did they make out better? We shall see. Tobias has a very good player. I don't know. Did they make out better? By accident, did they make out better?
Yeah, sometimes the deals you don't make. Because Mirotić, as good as he would fit, because he shoots, he also doesn't defend. Mm-hmm. And Tobias, while he's not a great defender, he's an upgrade from Wilson Chandler on defense.
Right. Okay, now here's the deal as for the future. This is why the Sixers are in good shape. This is why they're determined to keep this thing together. Milwaukee has 4 starters who are unrestricted free agents next year. They're done. Nobody's going to stay in Milwaukee. This is their last gasp. Toronto, they're done.
Yeah,
because Kawhi's leaving.
Yes.
So all you have to contend with now is Boston and hope that they don't get the deal for Anthony Davis in the offseason. So this is a Boston Sixer thing for the next 3 years.
Yep.
Let's go to the phones. Oh, yeah, let's set up our Twitter poll first. The Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons, from snowblowers to generators and small engines. Every part for every machine in stock when you need it. Moyer will keep you going this winter. Natalie.
Thank you, Mike. Very important business today. Do you wish Markelle Fultz well in his career? Over 1,400 votes on this so far. 71% saying yes, 29% saying no.
All right, so 79% has soft hearts for Markelle Fultz. I know one person who doesn't.
So do I.
Tyrone Johnson.
Yeah.
No soft heart for Markelle.
No, I wished him well while he was here, and I defended him and took a lot of heat for defending one Markelle Fultz.
Yeah.
Once he came back from L.A. and didn't have a lot of interest in playing basketball, that's when my sympathy permanently went away. And I do not want him to blossom and play well with the Magic. I want him to have as much disinterest in playing basketball there as he did here.
Uh-huh.
I don't want him to all of a sudden get down there and be great at basketball. He could have helped this team.
I once guys are gone, like, you know, I feel the same way about Nick Foles. Once they're gone, I don't care. Well, you need to knock yourself out. You know?
Yeah.
Whether you're good or bad, it doesn't matter to me.
No, I don't want him to develop with Orlando. Uh-huh. Now, if he leaves Orlando and goes to a third stop, then I'm at the point where I go,
feel sorry for him?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Whatever. I'm at whatever. I'll never feel sorry for him again because he didn't appreciate that we felt sorry for him here.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to play basketball.
That's fair. I'm determined not to think about him for the rest of my life. Yeah, I don't want to crowd my brain anymore with Markelle Fultz.
He might not let that happen anyway. What? You might not have to ever think about him again if he doesn't develop.
Or doesn't want to play.
Even if he develops, I'm not going to think about him. I mean,
it's already done.
I've already wasted too much of my time thinking about him. You know?
It's not going to eat at you that he was the number one.
No. It's not going to be, because it's over now. The whole thing, the whole saga is over. I wasted too much time with the saga. And so I'm out.
That's fair.
I'm cleansing my brain of the Fultz part of my brain completely. Chris in Jeffersonville, start things off. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Hey, how we doing? I was actually on hold with the midday guys, but I'll start off with your stuff. Epic fail. That's what I'm wishing for. Markelle Fultz.
Why do you even waste your energy on that? You know, like, don't even waste your energy. Save that energy and put it towards charity or something.
You know? I think, I don't know.
Who cares, Chris?
Nick Foles. I want Nick Foles to go to the Giants and then to go 2-14, okay?
Yeah. They're gone now. They're out of your mind.
But anyway, now the reason I actually called earlier, and Mike, you and me are about the same age. Did you go to the parade for the Sixers back in 83?
No, I don't think I did. I don't remember.
No,
because
I mean, that was one of the reasons I was calling. They had a great interview with Dr. J, brought back some great memories. And I was a senior that year. I graduated that year in 83, and I started my freshman year that fall at Penn State. And I wrote a paper on it, of the race relations, of how it came about that year.
Really?
That year,
wow, look at you.
In 83.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, wrote about shaking, what was it? Wilson Good was the mayor candidate that year. And he was shaking everybody's hands on Broad Street.
Chris, I hate to break into here, but is this leading anywhere?
No. That was the reason I called before. But I love where the Sixers are going.
Okay.
I love it. Oh, that was the other thing I wanted to ask you about as well.
What?
Your thing was, you're going to be highly disappointed if they're not in the final,
yes,
right?
Yep. Highly disappointed, yes. I believe they have filled all their crevices.
Isn't home field advantage one of the things?
Not in the NBA. Not for me. Not in the NBA. Not in Milwaukee. Forget why they can't win a game in Milwaukee. Then come on. You know? What are we talking about here? Lambeau Field?
I don't know.
Come on, stop it.
I mean, if you look at the
I can't expect the Sixers to go into Milwaukee and win a road game in the playoffs. That there's that much of a home court advantage for the Bucks? Come on. Enough. Rich and Shendo. What's up, Rich?
Mikey, how are you?
What's going on?
Agree with you 100%. I'm all in with the Sixers coach and all now. All the way.
Yes.
What's up with our pal Tyrone? You better check his ankles. He's jumping up and off the bandwagon.
It's giving a little leeway. He's giving a little leeway. He's professed hate for Markel, but a little leeway for Brett.
Make up your mind already, you know?
He does make up his mind. He's giving Brett a little leeway. I'm not giving him a little leeway, and I like Brett a lot.
I don't like Brett at all, but I think with this roster, he could do it. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this. How do you not like Brett? They were on pace to win before they added players. They were on pace to win 55 games. Now, how do you not like that?
I told you last time, I just don't like the way he coaches.
55's 55, Rich.
Yeah, I hear you. But, hey, listen, going to see the Fly Guys tomorrow. You're going to be around. I'll bring you some kielbasa down.
Yeah, I won't be at the Flyers game.
No.
Unfortunately. I had pressing engagements.
Oh, dude, you're
going to
hit
that
ball, ain't you?
No, I don't know. The Flyers play tomorrow.
I sent you something in the mail about Eagle Rock, so you could check it out, and I'll let me know.
All right, you got it, buddy. All right, Rich.
Rich doesn't like anybody.
Saturday night at the Flyers game?
Saturday.
Saturday.
Saturday?
They're playing the Ducks tomorrow at 1.
Yep, I would be going, except I have big birthday bash for my grandmother, 80th birthday.
Aww.
So happy birthday, Grandma.
Like tomorrow at 1, I was supposed to clip my toenails, so I don't know if I can break that appointment.
See what I mean? See why you got
to
do that?
You can always come to the chili cook-off that I'll be in.
See, this is just this is how I troll Flyer fans. I'm just trolling you, right? And now people go, hey, he's always taking a shot at hockey.
Yeah, I'm trying to get through the game.
I have tremendous fun getting the reaction from Flyer fans because they're so outrageously unreasonable. That is funny to me.
But we take the shrapnel from that, Mike.
Yeah, we do.
We have like a legitimate reason to not go tomorrow.
I'm going
to
read a tweet.
See, here it comes. We're going to get more shrapnel because of you.
A tweet last night that I got, right? Because they lost to the Kings, and I said, I felt a loss
to
the Kings. I felt that they would lose last night. And this guy, let's see, so last night was kind of weird because they thought they won the game. And they were celebrating and leaving the ice.
I thought they
were. And in a replay, the Kings had scored. So went into a shootout, and they wound up losing on the shootout. So the guy, I can't find it, but he ripped me a new one. I knew I shouldn't listen to you. I listened to Tyrone. They were going to win. You don't know anything. Blah, blah, blah. Guy ripped me, and it was like he couldn't pull the tweet back, like one of those deals.
He was that angry?
Oh, he was totally angry.
Yeah.
I had picked the Kings, and that I was wrong because he thought the Flyers won the game last night, and here it happens where they didn't win the game.
So you had tweaked him earlier, and then once they lost, he was just, like, ravenous.
No, I didn't tweak him at all. I just picked on the show. I just picked,
But what I'm saying is he decided to take his anger of them losing out on you because you had predicted.
He thought they won.
Right.
So he, yeah, so he ripped me for them winning and me picking against them.
Oh, I
and then,
see.
And the result flipped around. Like, he didn't wait long enough.
Right, okay.
All right, all right. Let's get to the business at hand here. Very important that we talk about the Sixers now and where they are and the man who orchestrated this whole thing, the general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers, joining us, Elton Brand. Elton, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Mike? How's everything?
Everything is good, and I know everything is good with you. So so I want to get into to how this whole thing comes about. First of all, the mindset that triggers this whole thing from a general manager's office and front office and all your assistants, it was evidently evident to you that this team had to be improved to contend. Can we start with that premise?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we were talking, you know, last time I was on the show early on, and certain people felt we had enough then, and I said it then, like, we need more pieces. We need more. So I don't know if it's going to come within or it's going to develop or do we have to go get it. So I felt like from the beginning we didn't have enough to contend, and we had to look at all our options. Jimmy Butler edition, I still thought we needed more. So now Tobias Harris is here.
All right. Now, when you're looking at this whole thing, and we can look along with you, but you guys are the inside. So you got, like, it's a big rock, and you got all these crevices in it, right? You needed a perimeter defender. You needed a four. You needed a backup for Joel Embiid. So how do you go about getting, like, piece by piece? What's the mindset there?
Mindset is our priority. So it's like, okay, once Joel goes out of the game, so we're top three defense in the NBA with Joel's on the court, period. We were 1-2 early in the year. Once he goes out, it plummets. We're down in the low 20s. We're probably 28th in defense. We need a rim protector. We need a big. Okay, let's focus on that. All right, Boban's available. We need more depth. So how do we get a starter level four man that can shoot threes? We need more shootings. That's for Tobias Harris, Mike Scott for the bench, Jay Minnis. So Jonathan Simmons. We went piece by piece and just put it together because we know what the team needed. We see what our deficiencies were.
All right, but it's not that easy because you have to know who's available. So how many phone calls does it take? How much time does it take to go around the league and find out who's going to fill these type of roles?
Oh, no, great point. Yeah, no, I'm so tired. No, you call everyone. You get a lot of fluff thrown at you, things that don't even make sense, people that are wasting your time. You know, I was kind of upset. I had to hang up on a few people. Like, it's just tiresome, you know, but you have to be prepared. You have to put in the work. But you talk to every team, absolutely every team. Some teams don't want to transact with us, of course, because we're running the same race. We're competing with each other, but you still even have to talk to those teams.
All right, now let's say the Wednesday night, you guys are playing, you're there, and I was at the game also, and I'm watching you. And you know, normally this is where you're hunkered down in the office. You're out there, and people are telling you to acquire this guy. There's a lot of phone activity that's got to go on during that whole time. So what kind of calls are you entertaining, and are you leaving your seat to go in the back room and talk to somebody? Like, how did that work that night?
Well, that night, yeah, so for the first half, you know, I was trying to spend some time out there just to see the game and just to reassure myself, like, this is Toronto. They have all of their pieces. We are down by 20. We don't have all our pieces. Wilson's out, JJ's sick, but still, are we going to compete with these guys when it counts? Like, I wanted to see that game firsthand, see some of their players, see their athleticism, see their talent level for myself, and then I had to go back to making the calls.
All right, so it was the final nail. You were just, like, reinforcing. You already knew it in your head, but you had to be reinforced by how they performed that night to really trigger the whole thing.
Yeah, it wasn't one night, but it was an accumulation of many things. But for certain, like, that night, I can see for sure we needed more help and more talent and more health. You know, there were some good players. Wilson's a pretty good player, but just needed someone more dependable health-wise. Because when he played, he did play pretty well for us.
Had you been up by 20, would you have second-guessed?
No. That's what I meant. Okay. That's what I was saying. It wasn't just one night. It was an accumulation of things. It wasn't just one game that I'm going to say, all right, we need to switch this.
All right. Now, here's the thing. It's been reported that you guys had a tremendous interest in Mirotić. And Mirotić does not play that night. He's got a bruised calf or whatever that are keeping him out of it. And Tobias Harris is playing. And it's really interesting to me. Like, Like, what went on there? Were you in the negotiations with Mirotić and it just didn't work out, and then you shift to Tobias Harris? I know it's a tough question to answer, but I'm trying to get as much insight from you as possible.
No. So you have interest in a whole slew of players. So nothing ever really got close with Mirotić. Like, it was a talk, a conversation, what's available, what would you give up, that kind of thing. And then the Tobias Harris thing was the same kind of scenario. It's like, what would you give up? How would you do it? When would this happen? And you just talk about it. And the Tobias was playing and 30-plus points and 5 3-pointers-pointers and the game winner. And I thought they might have changed their mind after the game.
But, but it's also a precarious situation because guys that are about to be traded, you know, you want to keep them out. You don't want them to get hurt. So, like, what's going through your mind at this point as you're making this deal with these guys? Are you crossing your fingers here?
Oh, absolutely. Like, the question was, like, this is going to happen after the game. Do you want us to sit them out? And I'm just like, no, we're not ready on our side yet. Like, he has to play. I don't want to sit a person out on a game if we're not ready to pull the trigger. So
wow.
That's how fast it happened that night.
That's interesting. So it happened, like, directly after the game is when it turned, like, it's about 2 a.m. and maybe up to 10 or 11 in on the West Coast. Is that where it happens, like, right after the game?
Yeah, it was during the game, before the game talks, and then it's like, okay, this thing's official. After the game, we're going to talk about a half hour. Let me talk to my players, let me talk to coach and let the people know that need to know. Agents, we'll get medical, we'll fly them in. But it wasn't consummated until after the game.
All right, we're talking Elton Brandy, general manager of the 76ers, who engineered all these deals that make the Sixers a more complete team. I got to ask you about the Fultz situation, like a million people have asked you. What was the breaking point where you finally said, you know what, we have to do it?
Yeah, you know, he was in L.A. I met with him. I met with his family. We talked about the business of basketball. His agent was there just to say, like, this could happen. Like, I understand your timeline because we want the best. We're supporting you, but our time will most likely change. And, you know, if he was 2 or 3 weeks away from coming back to us, it would take another week or two to get integrated. And we're trying to make a playoff push, and we're trying to make a real playoff run. And we know we dealt with last season when that happened. So that's when it was like, okay, it's time. I can get a first-round pick back. I can get a high second-round pick, probably Cleveland, the most favorable between Cleveland, Houston, Orlando, and Portland. So that would most likely be Cleveland. And another wing in Jonathan Simmons, who we believe that can help us. So that's when it was enough.
Yeah, but you also have to come to the conclusion that it's just not going to work here with him.
With us, in this environment, yes. Yep.
So that was the conclusion you came to.
That was the conclusion, a tough conclusion, because we like him as a person and we're rooting for him. But, yeah, that was the tough conclusion.
Now, there was probably another way you could have gone with, I know Wes Matthews was available. A lot of fans wanted Wesley Matthews, that you could have gotten him at the buyout situation and still kept Fultz and tried to make it work. But the value you were getting with the picks, since you had given some picks, was important to you to get some back?
Oh, yeah. No, that was very important to get the picks back. You know, 3 first-round picks and 10 second-round picks in the next 3 years. So I had to refill that kitty. And also Wes Matthews, I was speaking to his agent, and he thought that situation, he wouldn't be a rental. He knew they had money. He knew he'd have a prominent role, might even start. And that's why he didn't want to come to our team. He's like, hey, you have a better team in their eyes. You'll make a further playoff push. But we're going to go over there because they see that they feel like they can get a next contract. They were thinking next contract.
Yeah, happens. That happens a lot in the NBA where he wants to showcase them. All right, so that explains the Wes Matthews thing. The only thing that you didn't get back was technically, and I know you got some guys that are going to play point guard, but you didn't get a backup point guard other than TJ. So TJ still gets those kind of minutes. A lot of people think that hampers you guys, but what's your feeling on the backup point guard situation?
You know, of course, TJ has won actual playoff games for us. We believe in TJ. You know, I call him Rocco, short for Rocky, because he comes through when we need him to come through. Jimmy Butler has played some point guard for us. Tobias Harris can bring the ball up. We have an all-star point guard in Ben Simmons. So I think we'll figure that role out, and we'll figure out who can play defense on the other team's point guard. I'm not as concerned there.
All right, here's the question I have to ask you about Brett Brown now, because as a general manager in a front office, you do all you can to complete your team. And I think that now everybody can kind of say the Sixers are complete enough to win the East. So does that put the pressure on the coach to deliver the East?
You know, absolutely, all of us. We all have a lot of pressure to contend and go farther in the playoffs, like deep in the playoffs. But he's very happy with where we are. And I wouldn't just say he's under pressure. We're all under pressure for this. Yeah.
So the goal, you guys are thinking you got to win the East here.
That's the goal. That's mm-hmm. the goal. Early on, that was the stated goal. And again, we talked about it. I said we weren't there yet. So mm-hmm. that's the goal again. But it takes time. These four top flight players are going to have to mesh, and we're going to have to figure it out for sure.
All right. Who will play tonight? How much practice time have they gotten together? What's going on with the flow of all these guys coming on the team and what their availability is?
Yeah, Tobias Harris, Boban, Mike Scott. They're definitely playing. They practiced today, like a light practice, go over some plays. They were in last night shooting. James Ennis is a maybe, depending on the physicals and stuff like that. Jonathan Simmons will most likely be out.
Okay. Elton, listen, great job, and thanks for coming on and giving us some insight.
Always a pleasure.
All right, there he is, general manager of the Sixers. Oh, he pretty much explained everything, a lot more than I thought he would. You know, they did have interest in Mirotić. It wasn't going to come together because they weren't offering enough. Boom, there you go to Tobias Harris. You sweat through that whole thing. You're talking about the deal. They ask him, do you want us to sit out, Tobias? That's interesting that he says, no, you know what? We're not ready to pull the trigger on it. He's got to play.
I think that's the gentlemanly way to do it.
Uh-huh.
It worked out. That was like the honest way.
It worked out, but you got to cross your fingers.
No, if he turns an ankle even, yep. and he's out 3 weeks, mm-hmm. you're in
and
a lot of trouble.
And the Wes Matthews thing, you're right, we were talking about this before the show. You were all over the rationale. Wes Matthews is going to get more playing time in Milwaukee. He's got a chance to stay in Milwaukee because they have four unrestricted free agents. And if he shows anything, they re-sign him. Pacers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the same thing has now happened with Ellington with the Pistons. They lack shooting.
Mm-hmm.
He's a shooter. He's now going to play 30 minutes for them.
Yeah.
He was only going to play 10 to 15 here, hence why he went to Detroit.
All right, so this is it. This is what you got. No more.
I wonder if Boban's definitely the only center they pick up if they decide they want somebody else. Because Cantor's just out there still.
Yeah.
I just wonder.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Here's how you climb in. 610-632-0975. You just heard the GM. And, I think that they're hell-bent to win the East or bust. That's what I got out of that. It's the Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
.248, Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5, Fanatic. One thing I forgot to ask him was about Jimmy Butler. And, you know, this is kind of an obtuse question, but it looked to me like Jimmy Butler had those nights where he just faded out and wasn't engaged in playing. And my theory behind that was, he looked at this team and said, yeah, we can't win. And that forced him to fade out. Now, I could be wrong, but I wanted to ask Elton Brand about whether that was any kind of a, does he see the same thing in Jimmy Butler? And now, like, he's re-engaged Jimmy Butler with all these things.
That would have been good. I don't know if he would have answered it.
No, he probably wouldn't have answered it. But that's just my thought, that Jimmy Butler's looking around, I came to this play. I thought we could win. We can't win with this team.
Now they,
and he fades out sometimes.
Now, they won't have all the pieces tonight. So, mm-hmm. if he should be pretty engaged, Denver's a good team. He should be pretty engaged on Sunday. Mm-hmm. If we come in Monday and you still have that same question, it's not the Sixers. It's him.
Yeah, it's him. All right, let's go to Raheem in the Bronx. Raheem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Raheem.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, Raheem?
Mike, I got two things in my mind. Okay?
Yes, sir.
First of all, Elton Brand has to be the GM of the year. Like he's like the Black Messiah who's come to complete the process.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Elton Brand has done his thing this year, man.
He had a lot of parts to fill in, and it's amazing that they did it all. Now, they didn't do all the great players. These are role-playing players, but he knows how to identify role players, it looks like.
Hey, man, he's been like the Black Daddy Ainge, man. He's been willing and dealing, and, man, he's been doing his thing. The second part of this is this. If the Sixers don't make the finals, Brett Brown got to go, man.
I got to be honest with you. I'm leaning that way too, and I hate to be that way because I really like the guy, but the pressure is on him to deliver the East now. And I don't care what anybody says.
Man, we need to see if we can trade for Greg Popovich.
Yeah, well, you're going to get popped, but I got to think. I mean, look, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of the year. All I know is, okay, this is what they needed. This is what they got. Now it's up to you, bro. Hoppy, West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hoppy.
All right, Mike, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
All right. Now, Mike, here's the problem that I've got, and I agree with what Tyrone said, you know, in the initial part of the show. We're going to have a problem because now you talked about that Milwaukee series.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see Ben Simmons with 30 seconds on the clock. The game is tied. Milwaukee takes the shot, and let's say 7 seconds left, and you're coming down the court, and Ben Simmons has the ball in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking around, and everybody's basically covered, and he has the ball. Can you tell me that he's going to take that shot?
But what you're missing is there are four other guys on the floor that will take the shot.
Yes, but what if they are all locked down?
They can. You can't lock down on all four. That's the thing. You got to double Ben Simmons with the ball. He's going to go to the basket. Somebody's open. They don't need Ben Simmons to take that last shot. They've got four other guys that can do it. And they don't need the ball in his hands late in the game because the other guys shoot 80% from the free throw line. So you see what Brett's been doing late in the games. He's got Butler with the ball.
Yeah, well, that's true. But you know what? I'm old school. I need somebody that,
What more do you want? They got the best starting five in the league right now.
I need somebody to take a shot, man. Come on, man.
I get it. They got the best starting five in the league right now. Stop it.
Listen, we're going to revisit this, and I'm telling you, mark my word, and the playoffs.
You just don't like Ben Simmons.
I don't.
All right, well, then there you go. You should have just said that from the jump.
Yeah, don't use my words to slander Ben Simmons.
Go to Thomas in Texas. Thomas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up,
Thomas?
What's going on, Mike?
How you doing, man?
Nothing much, man. I want to come in on the Carson Wentz article real quick. I haven't talked to you in a while, but as far as the Sixers, man, they're not getting out to East, man, until they get a backup point guard. I'm sorry.
They've got plenty of ammo to get out of the East, bro.
If you believe in TJ that much, well.
No, I don't believe in TJ, but there's other guys that can play. Butler can play 10 minutes with the ball.
I got a question. What is their weakness? All you got to do is turn on New Jersey Nets and
his rotation minutes
look like a freaking Hall of Fame.
His rotation minutes are going to be down now. They've got other players.
Okay.
Well, Thomas, he's not going to play 20 plus minutes anymore. I will guarantee you that.
Okay, Mike. I hope you're right, Mike, because I can sleep a lot better. If you
all know. Right. Okay.
All right. Let me get to this real quick, because Mike, you're like one of the greatest people on the radio. I love what you do, helping people and making them, you know, be able to advance in life. I know a lot of guys get all wrapped up in Natalie Beauty, but when you look past it, she's really good at her job. Like, she good.
She is. And, excellent.
Yeah, and then in Tyrone, man, this dude knowledge is off the chain. I mean, I'm black, Mike. I couldn't name one black person other than Wayne Simmons on hockey. So, like, Tyrone is the man.
All right. I got you.
But what I wanted to say is I'm disappointed in all three of y'all.
What's the matter?
Because it seemed that Joel and Quito got death threats and all this stuff. Now it comes out that he just was going his daughter recording. There's nobody.
That's not true.
Wait, Thomas, what's your point?
What were
we supposed to do? I don't know what you're talking
this
about.
This is what Natalie was saying. Natalie was like, "Oh, nothing he did shows us that this article is true." And Tyrone was like, "I don't believe one word of it and all this." And what happened was all the.
I don't think anything happened after that that gave the story any more legitimacy. Like what was so vindicative of what happened afterwards? I don't get it.
Because, okay, if you listen, I know,
listen what? There was, if there were six players that had a problem with him, that's not enough to write a story that you're saying there's a problem in the locker room. If there's a problem in the locker room, good. There's a problem in the locker room. But damn it, prove it. I'll prove it with saying a half a dozen teammates don't like him. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
Bring on the Nuggets. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by the Rothman Institute. Life isn't made for pain. Life is for living. So turn to the top orthopedic experts in Central Jersey, Rothman Institute. Sixers' new faces will make their debut tonight when they take the floor at home against the Nuggets. Tobias Harris joined Barzetta and Trey this morning and discussed playing in Philly.
Fans support the team. It's a basketball town. It's a sports-driven town also. So to be a part of that is been huge. I've been receiving the love all over social media, etc. It's been awesome.
You can hear tonight's game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Our Sixers and 60 show lead you into the game beginning at 6. Flyers snapped their winning streak, falling to the Kings last night 3-2. They play the Ducks tomorrow at 1. Phillies acquired catcher JT Realmuto from the Marlins for Jorge Alfaro, Sixto Sanchez, and Will Stewart. Brian Westbrook joins Mike today from 4 to 5. When it's snack time, it's slider time. Add White Castle sliders to your shopping list. Easy to make and will satisfy your craves. Stock up on the slider variety you crave from your local grocery store. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.